As we come to that very familiar passage in Matthew chapter 2, if you'd like to follow along, you may turn to that as we recount that story. What star guided you to Jesus? Maybe it was a set of circumstances, a constellation of stars that brought you to the very place of the Lord Jesus. Maybe that star was a person. We're going to be talking about a wandering star, but a very purposeful star. Why would God even reach out to a group of astronomers / astrologers, maybe as far as 800, 1,000 miles away, with their incomplete information, to come searching for the King? In Matthew chapter 2, we have this wonderful story where it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men came from the east saying, where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? And the word of God says all Jerusalem was stirred. Herod also. The mean and angry and challenged Herod. And so Herod calls his scribes and Pharisees and priests. Hey, come here. They're folks that dress funny, who are following a wandering star. Stars don't wander, do they? They're a little cracked, maybe. What do you say? And reading between the lines, I believe, the scribes and Pharisees and the priests turn immediately to their scriptures and they say, here it is. Micah 5:2, oh Bethlehem Ephratah, so little among the clans of Judah, out of you will come ruler. We found it. And so Herod, in a secret way, said, hey, I know where he is. This is where you can find the Christ. You know, it's really funny. The people who are most opposed, deep down in their hearts, know the truth. Because the wise men came looking for a king, if you would look at that. But Herod made the connection. This king is what? The Christ. And so he says, when you find him, come back, so I too may worship him. It's a fascinating interchange between wise men who had imperfect information, yet they followed. Where is he? And we have other folks sitting in Jerusalem, the center of God's attention, the apple of his eye, who know, and yet who don't go. So as they start going, oh, isn't that wonderful? As they were going, isn't that so much about faith? As they were going. And we human beings love so much to be told everything that God wants us to do so that we can decide whether I want to do it or not. Who's laughing? But these wise men, they're so cool. They get up and go. They head towards Bethlehem, which is the south of Jerusalem. And as they were going, it says the star reappeared, this wandering star. And it says that it moved to where it was above the house where the Lord Jesus and Mary and Joseph were staying. You see, it may have been up to 2 years since his birth, because Herod had asked, when did this star appear, when you started tracking it? So you got the idea. This baby is at least 1 year old, if not maybe up to two. Because later on, he, being the schemer that he was, he was already devising a plan. And the Word of God says when the wise men came, these people who tracked the stars, and maybe they dabbled in a little bit of astrology. It's kind of a mixed bag, you know, when you kind of dig down and look at who and what they were. But let's just say that whatever little information they had, God used in their life to bring them to the Savior. They were looking for a king. But as I look at what they did, beloved of God, when they saw him, it says they bowed down and what? They worshiped. They worshiped. I don't see that written when they came to Herod. Very interesting. But they came and they bowed before a child who may have been 1 or 2 years of age. And they bowed and worshipped. See, their knowledge was expanding. They were looking for a king, but now they began to realize with all of the circumstances that were happening around them, the guidance and the movement of the stars, and now the Jewish scriptures confirmed it, and so they bowed and worshiped. The Word of God continues, and it says, and being warned by God, they returned home a different way. Because Herod says, report back to me, okay, so I too can worship. And God sent them home in a different way. There was a warning to Joseph about the same time. Second warning. Take up the child and his mother and go. Go to Egypt and stay there until I call. And so there was movement of them out in the middle of the night. Joseph is a wonderful man because he didn't delay. It says by night he got up, packed up his family, and he hightailed it out of there. You, believing one, Christian, when you hear the Word of God, when you hear the voice of God, do you just hightail it to do it? Or do you want all the information? The angel didn't tell Joseph, okay, I got a house for you down there. The stuff that you got from the wise men, the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, use that to kind of live on. See, all those little details, many times God leaves to us. But the big picture stuff, God says, do it. Herod, enraged, sends his soldiers, and it says, kill all the male children 2 years and below, because he wanted no one to challenge him. See, that's what Satan likes to do. And I see Herod as a caricature of the evil one. Because the evil wants attention to himself, to his agenda, to his kingdom. And when anybody else tries to track a star to the Lord Jesus Christ, he gets angry. And the Word of God says, it's a Jeremiah passage where it says, "And I heard Ramah weeping, Rachel for her children, and she could not be comforted." You know what Matthew was doing in that book? See, Matthew is a very Jewish book because every time he utters a statement or provides an idea, he always backs it up with Scripture. And here we have a wondering, this is the, I got excited when I started studying for this, you know, because here we have a wandering star and guys with imperfect knowledge get to the right place. And then we read the Scriptures, we talk about Egypt, we talk about Bethlehem, we talk about Ramah and Nazareth. Do you see what is happening? God is very precise in terms of triangulating, navigating all of the points of the compass to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? I love it. Oh, that was my personal blessing. I just wanted to share it with you as I start reading through the Scriptures. But, hey, and so sometimes we have to wait, don't we? Jesus had to wait. Joseph had to wait. Mary had to wait in Egypt. But then when Herod dies, the Word of God says, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." And so the angel says, "Okay, the people who are seeking the child's life are dead. You can go back now." And there again, God does not tell us the whole scoop. He comes to Jerusalem and he says, "Oh, Archelaus is the son of Herod, is actually in rule." He says, I scared that bugger. I don't like. Sorry, guest, I lapse into a pigeon every once in a while. But so they end up in Nazareth. And so another scripture that says, "And he shall be called a Nazarene." Isn't that wonderful? How precise the Word of God is, especially when it comes to the birth of the Savior, the growing up of the Savior, all that he is. Even geographical locations triangulate into the Son of God. It's incredible. And I pray, God, that you all understand how important the Lord Jesus is, that God would take that kind of time, over 350 different prophecies relating to the Son of God coming to this place. Oh. Let me ask you a question. Why did Satan want to kill the Lord Jesus? Why at that time? Why couldn't he have waited until the cross? Those of you that are into theology and all that kind of stuff, thinking about that. Why is it that Satan did not want to wait until the cross? But I'll leave that here. I'm not going to answer the question for you. The story ends. The story ends. But let me leave some questions for you. I got to remember what those questions are. Kenny is laughing at me. Beloved, are you seeking just a king? A person who will fix it for you? How many need a fix-it job right now? Oh, don't raise your hand. You want a king. You want somebody that can make it right, make it good. Or have you come close enough to Jesus, you've tracked him long enough to know that you need to bow down and be the Savior to you. You and I need a Savior. You need forgiveness of sins. I need forgiveness of sins. He that hath the Son hath the life, and he that does not have the Son of God hath not the life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's the way it is, beloved. That's the way it is. God wants you in his family. And he says, narrow is the gate. Wide is the way to the path to destruction, but narrow is the way to life eternal. So, are you looking for just a king? Or are you also looking for a Savior? Other questions? We've got all kinds of folks in this story, don't we? We got Herod, we got the Magi, we got Mary and Joseph. Who else? No, I can't even remember. Oh, the scholars. You know what the Magi remind me of? The seeking heart. What little information they had prompted them to move and investigate and seek. I call them the folks with a seeking heart. How about Herod? Nasty old man he was. He killed his own children, would you believe? Killed his own wife. So it was no skin off his nose to go kill maybe hundreds of baby boys. I call him the hard-hearted guy, the evil heart, the controlling heart. He ain't going to give up nothing. Were you? You like your lifestyle so much that you do whatever you can to maintain. Don't be like Herod. How about Joseph? Mary? Oh, I love those folks. I call them the folks with a loving heart, a nurturing heart, a protective heart. Don't you want to be like them? How about the scholars? All those folks that came with all kinds of good information. By the way, some of you are just packed with good information. You got it all up here. But I don't read in the scriptures that any one of those folks actually get up and went. Your knowledge is nothing or useless until you put it into action. All the scholars, all the priests, all those folks that had precise information, not like the Magi, precise information, they did not move at all. So what kind of heart do you have, beloved? You don't have to come into my confessional and tell me, but do you have a seeking heart? Do you have a hard heart like Herod? Do you have a loving, nurturing, giving heart like Joseph and Mary? Or do you have a knowledgeable heart, packed full of information, but it does you no good? I would say 90% of you have plenty of information to bow down to not only call Jesus King, but Savior. Let's pray. Lord God, forgive us. Most of these folks remind us of us. Forgive us. Lord God, as we again are reminded during this season how important to worship, not only to call You King, but Savior. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. What's on your heart?